You're listening to the Awesome Podcast Network.
Welcome to Geekly Dose. I'm your producer, Jesse Sedgley. And now your hosts, Tim Bridgewater and Stephen Nocentelli.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Geekly Dose, which is, of course, your number one spot for all things geek. That includes movies, games, comic books, etc. My name is Tim Bridgewater. I'm an actor. I'm a screenwriter. You can find me at Facebook.com/TimBridgewater1. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Stephen Nocentelli.
That's right. I'm Stephen Nocentelli, writer and cartoonist and all-around creative mind.
Yes.
Here to tell you about everything E3.
That's right. Of course, got a surprise here for you guys. We are rejoined with our wonderful producer, Mr. Jesse Sedgley.
Surprise!
Yes.
Wait, he's not dead?
No, he's actually alive.
I only had a stroke.
I'm a ghost right now.
So, yes. So, just to kind of give you a little recap, first of all, it's been, I know it's been a while. The last episode we talked about, we say we were going to come back with a Man of Steel episode and an E3 episode, but a lot of things got in the way of that, and long story short, here we are. So we didn't get a chance to do those, but we will be giving our slight opinions on both of those during this episode. Right now, I'm actually back in the studio, once again, the old studio. Jesse and I are here, and we're talking to Steven through Google Hangouts. So, you know, this is going to be kind of a bigger...
That's right. I'm way in Seattle.
Right. This is going to be sort of a bigger episode, so I want to try to get Jesse involved in it so we can all kind of discuss these topics and everything. Now, before we go into that, I just want to take a moment and dedicate this episode to Kid Craddock. If you don't know who that is, he's a radio host. He had a nationwide radio show for 20-plus years. He's actually one of my favorite radio hosts. Huge influence on me as a host. I mean, you know, this is basically a radio show that we do, except it's just on the internet, you know. And many people don't know that I actually hosted a radio show for a year in Baton Rouge for KLSU, our local college radio station. And Kid was a heavy influence on me and how I approached hosting that show. Because if you ever listen to KLSU, nobody on there really had much of a personality until I jumped on board. And I got
they
that.
They still
from
don't
Kid.
Have personality,
right?
There.
And it was the weirdest thing ever, but it was heavily influenced from me listening to Kid Craddock in the morning. He was such a eccentric, great host, and it's such a tragedy that he passed away. I miss him. I would listen to that show. If I was up early enough in the morning to listen to that show, I would listen to the show, and then sometimes I would even watch the show, you know, stream it live. So. It's very sad. He was a very charitable guy. Kids Kids was an organization that he had going on that is still going to continue. If anybody wants to donate to that, I believe it's you can go to kidnation.com, and there's like all sorts of information there about that. So this episode is dedicated to Kid Craddock, and keep looking up because that's where it all is, right?
Yep.
Okay. On that note, this episode... As Stephen mentioned earlier, we're going to talk a little bit about E3. Stephen, what are you going to talk about in regards to that?
Oh, sure. Well, of course, I'm going to talk about the two consoles that they didn't really introduce them because they introduced the consoles like prior for some unknown reason. But I'll talk about the two consoles, and then I'm going to count down my top five picks of the games that they showed.
Okay. Sounds great. So we're not going to, you know, it's not going to be a repeat of last year's episode where Steven did this huge thing because we didn't get a chance to really flesh that out. So he's going to give us just a little abbreviated version of that. And I'll chime in and Jesse will chime in every now and then with our thoughts and et cetera. But we won't keep that too long. Then, of course, we'll jump into this massive discussion of all of the big events at San Diego Comic-Con, which just ended recently. A lot of big things to talk about there in terms of comic book films for the most part. And we're going to elaborate and kind of give our thoughts and opinions on what we think about a bunch of that news, right?
Yeah.
So on that note, let's just go ahead and jump into it. So I'm going to hand it over to Steven. He's going to talk about E3 a little bit here.
All right. Yes. You know, like Tim said, this is going to be sort of an abridged E3, not like the extensive coverage we had last year. But I will be telling you about the consoles. Yeah, I know. It's such a disappointment. And my top picks. So let's get right into it. Of course, Xbox, Microsoft introduced the Xbox One, and Sony showed off their PS4. And I kind of use the term introduced lightly because they both held press events like a month prior to announce the consoles. Mm-hmm. And then they re-announced the announcement at E3. Like, I didn't really understand their their strategy to that. But, you know, I guess it worked. It allowed them to focus more on the games at the press event, as opposed to, you know, giving you a bunch of numbers and specs. So, in that regard, it was definitely a change in how they usually do E3. Of course, there was a lot of controversy surrounding the Xbox One, or as a lot of people have come to call it online, the X-Bone, because...
Fair enough.
...of the strict online restrictions that Microsoft was going to put into play. Now... They did not talk anything about these at their actual press conference, and probably because of the amount of heat that they were getting for it. So, of course, this left it wide open for Sony to directly attack them the next day at their press conference, which they did to massive applause, talking about how they're not going to have any restrictions on like loaning things out and trading games in, and you don't have to be online all the time. And, of course, you know, this went huge favor in Sony's direction. And then, just a couple days later, Microsoft comes out and they completely reverse everything they said about their online, about having to always be connected, about their, like, strict sharing content. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like a very strange situation. I think Microsoft really should have known that they were kind of going a little too far with the way they were going to implement their online features. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they've completely left it open to re-implement those features in the future if they want to. But I don't know. I think that it really could have hurt the Xbox, and I think it still did hurt their reputation.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than you immediately backpedaling on everything that you just put out there because your competition pretty much bitch-slapped you. You know,
yeah.
That's the way I look at it. And I didn't watch any of the Xbox stuff because mainly I was at work. And secondly, I don't care about Xbox. But thirdly, you know, I did watch like the PlayStation stuff. So and at the time, I didn't even really know that they were specifically kind of undermining all of Microsoft's announcements. All I knew is that I heard some really awesome PS4 announcements. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow. And, you know, come to find out that there was actually like, it seemed like they were targeting, you know, Microsoft's approach. And there's no question that Sony took the victory on that, right?
Yeah, definitely. It played so much in Sony's favor. And the days directly following, when you look at the pre-order numbers, it really was hurting Microsoft and the Xbox sales. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they did the right thing in changing their mind, but at the same time, it kind of makes you question their integrity.
Exactly. And yeah. I mean, that $399 announcement for PlayStation 4 got such a reaction, right? Because I wasn't
definitely.
I had already decided, and I haven't really decided yet, but at that point I'd already decided that I wasn't going to buy a PS4. You know, I was just going to wait a year, two, three, whatever, until PS3 became, you know, irrelevant. But this $399 price thing has got me even thinking about trying to get one. You know, what do you think?
I would love to have. I have everything right now. I have every current generation system. Mm-hmm. $399, it's still expensive.
It's still very expensive.
The only thing that would make me move on it really quick, maybe a $299 even. I know that's right. These days you can't get a console for that, but
no. I know. And it's interesting. Obviously, Microsoft announced the $499 price tag for the Xbox. And, of course, I'm of the type where I own all of the current generation systems.
Yep.
And I'm sure down the line I will own all of them. But, I don't know, the early adopters, you know, they're asking for a lot of money, both of them, to invest in these systems, especially knowing that a year or two from now they're going to be much cheaper because that's just the way it always is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm not even sure that I'm going to get either of them right off the bat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all depends on the titles for me. I don't care that I can watch television on it
right.
and all that kind of stuff. Sports, you know, like the videos show. television and sports. Yeah, that's not going to make me move on that price. Only the titles. That's all that matters.
Yeah, sure. I could agree with that. Because, I mean, I don't know. And when it comes to all the other stuff, there's just so many options for that. You know, like all the television and all that aspect. There's just so much. Hulu, Netflix, and
smart TV.
It's so weird. Right, you have TVs that come with that stuff
right now. I know. So. I have, like, almost 10 different devices in my house that can watch Netflix on.
Yep.
And, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm always just going to... Lately, I've just been using the PS3 to watch Netflix. And that even doesn't matter because I have an Apple TV. I mean, right. I don't really need my video game console to be my television also.
Mm-hmm.
But which that's is just...
It's mind-boggling to me that they're putting so much focus on that aspect of it when there's just...
Well, I think a lot of it is you have to look at the fact that the core gamers, the people that will always play Halo, will always buy an Xbox. These are the types of things that they have to announce to get everybody else on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that wouldn't normally buy an Xbox day one, or, you know, your mom and dad that don't usually play video games. That's the people they want to be like, well, look, you can also do video calls while you're watching a movie, and you can record your television programs. Like, those are the people that they target with those announcements.
Hmm.
Which is why I'm kind of glad that both Sony and Microsoft made all of those announcements prior to E3. Right. Because at their actual press conferences, they strictly focused on the games. And E3 is the type of venue where the only people watching are the core audience members. You're not getting the grandmas and the grandpas watching E3 coverage. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really make sense to focus heavily at that show on those features.
Okay, yeah. Makes sense. Well, I mean, time will tell what happens with a lot of this. I mean, I know a lot of people personally that went out and pre-ordered their PS4... You know, very shortly after they made that announcement. And a lot of people canceled their Xbox One pre-orders. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm probably just going to end up waiting anyway. But I don't know. Anything can happen,
Oh, yeah,
right?
Definitely. There was definitely, like, some announcements. Amazon put out their numbers for how many of each console they got pre-orders on. And nobody's announced that they've gotten too many pre-orders that they're sold out. But at the same time, I don't think anybody knows how many systems they're getting yet, even though they come out, like, in November.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think it's time to move on. I do want to bring up two new topics of discussion at E3. I want to talk about the strangest new trend in all of these games and my biggest disappointment with the show.
Go for it.
Okay, fair enough.
I think the strangest new trend, and I saw it at every press conference with all of the big major games, like all of the games that they were really pushing, not so much the, you know, Elmo Sesame World or whatever, but, you know, the big shooters,
Sesame
the racing
World?
Games. Yeah, and they all...
That's actually a real thing?
I don't know. It is now, damn it. I'm copyright. I'm going to start the website.
I think they're still just on the street right now.
Sesame World.
But I noticed that everybody was focusing on their whole second screen, away from the house gameplay features. Like, every game where someone was on stage demonstrating, there was someone else on stage with an iPad or an iPhone, like, minorly interacting with their multiplayer matches going on. Mm-hmm. We had people controlling aerial drones and shooters. You had people, like, changing race courses and doing all kinds of things away from the actual system on these apps. And I found it to be a very strange new trend because all of these different companies all of a sudden decide, let's put out apps that allow you to kind of play multiplayer with everybody else playing the game, but not actually get to play. I just thought it was very strange.
So what's the whole point of the second screen thing? For you to just watch other people play?
No, it's like, I guess the best example of it was from The Division, which was an Ubisoft game that I'll talk about later. But it's basically a squad-based shooter. And so let's say you, me, and Jesse are playing and we're running around shooting somebody. And Trey from AE's Revisited decides he wants to help us with our mission. He could jump on his iPhone, open up The Division app, and take control of an aerial drone. And basically what he can do is fly around while we're playing, marking targets, dropping bombs, that kind of thing. But it's still, it's a very limited functionality, okay. And I don't really see the fun in some of it.
Right.
Hmm.
I see the potential, but the example sounds, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's cool, but I think if you really want to play your game bad enough, won't you just go home and play it? You
know, and play it. Really I know. I completely agree. I think it's one of those. It's one of those things like the Kinect. You know, they're gonna push it so hard, but then nobody's gonna use it. So I don't know. I think I think there's still it's a wait and see on these second screen experiences, and of course my biggest disappointment. To some people, won't be a disappointment, but to me it is, and it had to do with every major announcement that every studio made, and it's the fact that everything is a shooter. Mm, we had a couple racing games, one or two platformers, but everything was a shooting game. Mm-hmm. And you'll see it in my top five lists, you'll see it in everybody else's list online, but they announced so many games where you just run around shooting things that they're really, where was the lightheartedness? Where was the jumping? Where was the platforming?
Animal Crossing's already out, so.
Yeah, I have that. I mean, of course, you know, there's always Nintendo and there's always Mario for your lighthearted platforming. But I think it was it was kind of a letdown that every game they showed was just a gritty, gray and brown shooting game.
And wait, and you're talking about Microsoft or are you talking about just in general?
I'm talking about everyone.
I mean,
I'm
wasn't there...
Microsoft, Sony, Ubisoft, EA, all of their major... I mean, you can break down every single game they announced, but every major game that they actually focused on in their press conferences was people running around shooting things.
Did they not... Was Infamous, the new Infamous game, not one of their main focuses?
They showed, like, a brief video. They did not demonstrate the gameplay.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're right, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not good news for someone like me who doesn't really give a shit about shooters for the most part.
Yeah.
That's my new motto, really, by the way. I don't give a shit about shooters.
I think it really speaks to the, I don't know, just the idea of what these developers think everybody, like their audience is. You know, it shows who they're actually focusing, which is that college-aged male who... is full of aggression. So he just wants to shoot things, play the same sport game that came out every other year, and that's really it. And there's a lot more to the gaming demographic than that. You know, over... I don't know. It's just, you've got more... I think the majority of the gamers are not that demographic. Half of them are women, and the rest are younger gamers, and even older gamers. Not everyone is in college and wants to shoot things.
If you say so, I don't know.
All right, well, it's time to count down my top five games of E3.
Dun dun dun.
All right, dun, we're starting dun, with.
Dun, dun.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a pre-recorded intro right there.
You can see the budget of the show has kind of dropped now that we have to do these long distance podcasts.
Right. We're being charged like 30 cents a minute just streaming Steven.
Just to stream. It's ridiculous.
I know.
Anyway.
If you'd like to donate, send us an email at geeklydose@gmail.com.
I put a lot of thought into my top five coverage, and I wanted to start it off with a game that a lot of people wouldn't have thought of as their top games, but it's something that really stood out to me. And so number five is my hidden gem of E3, and it is Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare from PopCap Games and, of course, EA publishing it. Now, everyone familiar with Plants vs. Zombies knows it's your puzzle game on your iPhone or your iPad where you tap the screen and the plants shoot at the zombies. And, of course, they announced a sequel, Plants vs. Zombies 2, where you do the same thing. But they also announced, very briefly, Garden Warfare, which is your Plants vs. Zombies universe. Same characters, same zombies, same plants. But it's a third-person shooting game where you're in a multiplayer arena with other players controlling other types of plants, trying to take down zombies of different types, including like giant hulking boss zombies. And I thought it was very interesting.
I'm looking at some footage here in the studio. I had never even heard of this, I don't think. I mean, maybe you had talked about it in a previous one, episode, right? Really?
You've heard of Plants vs. Zombies, though, right?
I think, maybe.
Wow.
I feel like you have talked about it at some point, Steven.
Oh my gosh. Never played it?
No, I never played it. This was a game that was kind of like a phone, iPhone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, see, I don't play those ever. So I don't.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Know very little about it. But it looks pretty cool.
Send your hate mail to geeklydose@gmail.com.
Well, this Garden Warfare is nothing like the iPhone game. The iPhone game is like a tower defense. Okay. Type of game.
Yes.
But, I mean, yeah, we're looking at the footage here, and it looks pretty neat. I mean, but then again, it does kind of just look like a shooter.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Except, you know, you got these cool abilities to dig underground and stuff and eat lots of zombies. So that's fun.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting twist on how to bring the Plants vs. Zombies kind of phone game experience, but to a console without just having you move the cursor with your control stick, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like Horde mode from Gears of War.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. That's neat.
All right. My number four game, not a shooter, is The Crew from Ubisoft. Now, The Crew represents the racing game category in my list.
Oh, the thing I beat you at. But
it also represents a trend that I saw in the racing games. The Need for Speed game that they announced also did this. And I think there was another racing game which had a similar feature. But the whole thing with The Crew is you're in the open world city racing, obviously online with your other friends, but it kind of has this massive multiplayer aspect to where you're in a huge city with dozens and dozens of other racers driving around, you know, causing havoc and getting into police chases. And I just thought that it was a very interesting look at what the future, since we have these next-gen consoles, of these open-world racing games are, which is not just your, you know, Burnout Paradise, where it's just you playing in the open world, and if people come in, it's more of a stripped-down, restricted version of that open world, but rather a way to present the full city for you to drive around in and to bring more than just your friends into the game, but to bring dozens of other people driving around in the same city, getting into massive races and all kinds of crazy shit.
Now, have you ever played an Ubisoft driving game before?
I don't know that I've played an Ubisoft driving game.
Yeah, it just doesn't. The graphics look fine. It just, the, I don't know, it all seems different, I guess. Just kind of off a little bit. I'm so used to the Need for Speed. Yeah. Right. Look,
well, they also announced a Need for Speed game, which was also similar in the whole open world aspect. Of course, Need for Speed is from EA, and it's called Need for Speed Rivals. But I don't know. I think The Crew, it just looked interesting to me. It stood out. Yeah. That's why it's my number four.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so we're going into number three, which is The Division, which I kind of talked about earlier. With the second screen aspect. The Division is, once again, with these new consoles, we're seeing that they have the capabilities to do this. It is an open-world, massive multiplayer game, but it's a third-person shooter in which you shoot things. I don't know. I didn't really catch too much of the story aspect. But, obviously, the graphics look good, the gameplay looked solid, and what they showed at the press conference was a squad of three people, and, of course, the fourth person coming in on their phone, clearing out a building, you know, working together, doing their online thing, but also showing that in that same city or area that they were at, there were other people playing. You know, that's the whole... I think we're going to see a lot of more massive multiplayer things.
Yeah, I think so.
In a lot of these next-gen games when it comes to the multiplayer.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, we're getting... you're looking at some footage of it right now?
Yeah. We're looking at some footage of it, and we kind of lost you there for a split second. But we
got it won't even come across in the edit, though.
Oh.
So I'll edit this.
Never mind. That didn't happen. You're all dreaming right now. This is a dream.
If we're having technical difficulties, it's not my fault.
But yes, we're looking at some gameplay footage right now of The Division.
Yeah, the graphics look awesome on this one.
It looks amazing. It's,
now I wonder, they played this on Xbox for the demo or PS3?
Well, I don't know if they were actually running on either the PS4 or the Xbox.
Probably just a computer.
Yeah, if it was just the PC. I'm pretty sure that's because a lot of these were shown at the respective press conferences of EA or Ubisoft, not necessarily at the big console reveal.
Oh, right.
So they, you know, to show the best that they could do, obviously they would use the PC because that's just the way it always is when it comes to showing demos at these trade shows.
Yeah, it looks the best. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it definitely showed this whole massive multiplayer thing that's going to be happening in a lot of these games.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're right. That does seem to be the new thing. I think that I don't think you're really going to talk about Watch Dogs, but wasn't that one of the things that's the biggest seller about that is the same sort of online?
Yeah, the same sort of deal. Thing. Obviously, last year my top pick of the show was Watch Dogs. It did not come out yet, and I chose not to talk about it again this year, even though it did have a big presence at E3 because. Well, I already talked about it, and there's already a lot of info out there about the game.
Yeah, fuckers.
But yes, Watch Dogs was at E3, and it still looks fucking incredible.
This is true.
All right, yes. On to the next one.
My number two is Destiny, which is the new game and new IP from Bungie, which is being published by Activision and is actually a multi-platform game. Which means Bungie, who of course created the Halo franchise and has developed the majority of the Halo games strictly for Microsoft, has broken away from the pack. They are no longer exclusive to Microsoft, and they're no longer making Halo games. That has now gone to 343 Studios. And so everybody was wondering what the new IP from Bungie is going to be, and it is Destiny, which is, of course, a first-person shooter. At first glance, it kind of has that that Halo feel, and of course they don't want to go too far from that because they don't want to alienate the core audience that will follow them no matter where they go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, I mean, we're looking at an incredible-looking open-world game, just like all the others, where it's open-world, massive multiplayer stuff going on. But it's the people from Bungie, and so you're kind of guaranteed this fine polish, this rich lore... and this great multiplayer experience. And I'm actually kind of looking forward to this one.
Hmm.
Yeah. And this is coming from, you know, once again, I think I've said this a million times on the podcast. Never played really any Halo games in any kind of serious capacity. You know, I may have jumped in every now and then to a multiplayer type thing. But everything I've seen in this game, it makes me a little more interested.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean much when I say that. But
they've
definitely
slowly, prior to E3, very slowly been introducing small elements of the game. And then at E3, they had a big reveal. They showed gameplay. They showed multiplayer. And I think it left a big impression on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You think this has Halo potential in terms of...
success?
Yeah.
I think it has Halo potential in terms of critical success. But... as with every new IP, no matter who's developing it, there's always that off chance that it won't really pick up sales-wise just because it's not familiar.
Mm.
Okay, right.
But I also think because of the name brand, Bungie, and because it probably will get incredible reviews, that, yes, it will sell well enough for them to keep making games, for them to make a sequel, for them to... you know, support it well past launch. I don't see this game failing in any way. No.
Right. I agree with you. Yeah, we're watching footage. It's looks really good.
Well, you know, the next gen is only months away and a lot of games are going to start looking really, really good. And then a year from now you're going to be used to it and it's not going to look so good anymore.
I'll be honest with you, I'm already kind of getting to that point. Like, you know, I recently played The Last of Us, and that was easily one of the best-looking games ever. So now, like, these game studios are going to have to start relying on other things other than just good graphics, because now they're all starting to look very good.
Which I think is part of the whole massive multiplayer thing that a lot of these companies are pushing in their multiplayer. Because, you know, if extremely good graphics isn't enough of a draw, they can point to this whole world of people playing the game that you can join with, you know? Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
It's definitely interesting.
All right, and my number one pick of E3, game of the show for Geekly Dose, is the new game from Respawn Entertainment. Now, anyone familiar with Respawn knows that they used to work for Activision making the Call of Duty games. They were responsible for Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2 and 3, pretty much the big, massive grossing Call of Duty games that have come out over the last couple years. Respawn was the developer of those. But they had a big falling out with Activision, and they decided to break off on their own and develop something completely new and original. And so, once again, we have a new IP, and the name of the game is Titanfall.
Dun dun dun.
Yes, Titanfall, the new IP from Respawn, which is your basic first-person shooter. But the twist in this game is giant robot mechs. Because who doesn't love giant robot mechs?
Yeah, Pacific Rim, you know?
Awesome movie. Yeah. We've got a world where you can, at any point from, you know, be on foot, shooting with your gun. At any point, you can jump into a giant mech and get into giant mech warfare. You could try to take one down with, like, a squad of little soldiers. Of course, the graphics looks incredible. The multiplayer has so much promise. And, of course, we have Respawn, who has pretty much defined the first-person shooter multiplayer for this generation. And they're coming out with something completely new and original. And I'm very, very much looking forward to this game.
Now, the graphics in their trailer don't quite look as good as the rest of the things you've announced. It looks fun. But as far as quality...
The mechs look kind of clunky.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the word I'm looking for, yeah. Clunky.
Sure. Well, I mean, of course, we're looking at an early build of the game, as with all of these games.
Oh, don't defend them.
But the reason it's my number one pick and not Destiny, despite the graphics, is the gameplay. I'm always going to be more for gameplay than graphics. You know, I can still jump on a Nintendo 64 or PS1 game and enjoy it if it has good gameplay. Right. And so I feel like what Titanfall showed with its multiplayer and its single-player campaigns stood out a lot more for me than some of these other games.
Hmm.
Okay. I feel like I'm going to have to find a way to get more into these shooters now. Because, like you said,
they're everywhere.
There's just so many of them. And it, you know, this game does look pretty cool.
But there are a lot of titles that aren't shooters. Like, they have that Beyond Two Souls, whatever.
There is that, which I'm definitely going to pick up.
You know, I like these story mode single-player games like that and like Last of Us. And I still think they're going to be popular. It's just, right now, that seems to be the trend, is just coming out with the next big shooter. Since Halo's kind of, they're ready to call it up, everybody's like, oh, let's take their spot.
Right.
Yeah, I think ever since the Halo and the Call of Duty games have started making, like, billions of dollars, it's just kind of led everybody else to want to put out a shooting game and try to be the next big thing. And, you know, you can kind of see the same thing with movies and all of these superhero movies.
The movement in this Titanfall game is pretty cool. You could jump from walls to walls. But
it's all about the gameplay, man.
It is.
So, of course, that was my my top five games of E3. Of course, we're going to recap here. Number five, the hidden gem of the show, was Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare from PopCap Games. Number four was The Crew, a racing game from Ubisoft. Number three, The Division, a brand new shooting IP from Ubisoft. Also, Destiny, which is Bungie's new IP, which is probably going to be amazing multi-platform game. And Titanfall from Respawn Entertainment as the number one game of show.
Well, I got a question for you. What's your favorite current shooting game right now that's released?
Like that I own?
Well, not necessarily. Just the one that's been out, you know,
Sure. I think if I had to play a shooting game like right now, I would probably grab Battlefield.
3?
Yeah.
All right. I actually haven't even played that one yet.
Yeah. And of course, they Battlefield 4 was at the show, and they showed a lot of you know, gameplay from that. But I don't. It was still just Battlefield. Like, it was still destructive environments, vehicles, open world. It still looks fun. I'm still going to buy it. But I wanted the top five games to really be standout, like, new games. And so I think I made a pretty good list.
Oh, yeah. I just saw in this Titanfall.
Anyway.
In Titanfall, the Titan just ripped the other guy out of the other one. That was pretty neat. Go check out the multiplayer gameplay trailer on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of promise coming up in these next generations. If you're willing to put out the money to be an early adopter, there's a lot to look forward to.
Okay. Well, that was a brief recap of at the very least, Steven's favorite games of E3, as well as some information on the console, et cetera. We realize some of this news is a little behind, but, you know, what's news if you don't get our opinions on it, right? Isn't that right?
It's all new to me. Right.
It's all about Geekly Dose. That's our new motto, Geekly Dose. Only our opinions matter.
Yeah. I think it'll pick up. It'll take off.
Yeah.
Well, from one huge event to another huge event, now we're going to switch on over and talk a little bit about a little, tiny little comic book convention called San Diego Comic-Con, which, of course, I'm completely joking. That is easily the biggest Comic-Con that exists. And a lot of big news, of course, is a lot of, you know, that's where all the big dogs go when they want to make their big announcements for the new films and their new cartoons and their new comic books and new everything.
Yes.
So we actually sent Steven over there. He went, right? Didn't you go? Did the press pass?
You know, it's funny. The plane ticket must have got lost in the mail.
Damn. That happened last year too.
I tried to hitchhike. It would have taken forever. I kind of got lost in the woods. I killed a couple bears, mostly to survive, but some for fun. And I made it back here, back to my house, but I did not get to San Diego.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll just kind of have to speculate on a lot of stuff. well, okay, so, you know, the big, like we said, a lot of the big dogs came out for Comic-Con. You know, a lot of people wondering what DC was going to have up their sleeve next, because let's be honest, we haven't really got shit from them, right? Mm-hmm. We got the Dark Knight trilogy and Man of Steel. That's the biggest thing basically you have gotten from them in years. Until now, right? So arguably the biggest announcement made at this is that the next DC Warner Brothers film will not necessarily Man of Steel 2, but rather a film that could be tentatively titled Batman versus Superman and or Superman versus Batman.
That's right.
Now,
I don't know which one goes first.
Immediately, you know, the geek in you is going to have sort of a...
Yeah, the fanboys right. Are in an uproar. I believe that Batman would win if he has kryptonite. And everybody else is like, but Superman has strength and speed.
And that's true. That's exactly what's going on. And from what I understand about the reveal of this is that I believe it came at the end of that. What were they talking about? I think Zack Snyder was out and he was talking about something.
Yeah. The only thing they really showed was a logo for the
right.
movie.
Yeah.
They announced that the creative team behind Man of Steel is going to be behind this movie.
Right. They brought out the guy who played the general in Man of Steel, black guy.
Harry Lennox read
a quote from The Dark Knight Returns, which is basically Bruce talking to Superman, Bruce Wayne talking to Superman, talking about how, you know, he's going to be. What is the actual quote?
It's right here.
Okay. It is, I want you to remember, Clark, in all the years to come, in all your private moments, in all the years to come, my hand at your throat. I want you to remember the one man who beat you. Now, immediately, Ultra
Goosebumps.
Geeks. Right. Yeah, that. And then Ultra Geeks knew that was Bruce Wayne talking to Clark Kent from The Dark Knight Returns. And then apparently they, you know, brought out this graphic of the Superman logo over a Batman, which is a brand new Batman logo, from what I understand.
Yeah, I noticed it's a
It's a pretty weird looking Batman logo, I might add.
I don't know, it's weird because they already have that same logo on the Batman Superman comics, which is the shield with the bat behind it. I don't think they needed to change the bat symbol that much, but I think what they, the main point of it was to put the distinction that this is not the Dark Knight trilogy Batman. Exactly. That, and this is a new Batman.
I assume that too, yeah. I don't know. It looks kind of, it just looks a little fat.
It does look fat.
But that's besides the point, right? The bigger thing here is that more interesting about it is that they're deciding to go this route instead of just giving us a Man of Steel 2, which, I be honest with you, I'm not sure how to feel about that.
I love it.
Well,
you love it?
I mean, they're clearly, they want to be on the fast track to putting out this Justice League movie. And so they kind of need to introduce a lot of characters in a very short amount of time. Marvel had a long time to introduce all of its characters, and they all had their own movie. But DC is kind of in a crunch. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got this movie, and then they've got, what, a Flash movie? And then Justice League.
I mean, is the Flash movie confirmed?
I don't think so.
Because I don't think they made any announcements about that. I think that would be a mistake.
To make a Flash movie. I think they need to go down this road. What it seems like they're doing is making basically Man of Steel 2. They may even call it that. But just have these other characters introduced into Superman's world. Let's keep it around Superman. It's awesome to see Batman come in as a support character. Mm-hmm. That way we don't need to see that whole, you know, his parents dying in the crime alley again and all that stuff. We could just jump right into it. We all know Batman. Let's just jump into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping they approach it more so like that than, I mean, I definitely don't think they're going to retread the whole origin story thing again.
Right.
But I just don't want, but at the same time, can you have a movie with those two characters in it and not make at least half of the movie about Batman? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't feel like we've gotten a chance to know Superman yet. You know, like, we didn't get a chance to review Man of Steel, but overall, I like that film, but I definitely had some problems with it, you know, and I left the theater feeling like, I don't know this Superman, because he just became Superman. He just, he just joined the Daily Planet at the very end of the movie. We haven't gotten to see him be that Clark Kent yet, and for them to kind of, it just kind of seems like a desperation move on Warner Brothers, DC's part, and those usually don't turn out too well.
I think the biggest question I have is, with the title Batman vs. Superman, or Superman vs. Batman, depending on who you prefer.
Which hopefully they don't call it either of those.
Yeah, definitely not.
But that's just horrible.
With that tentative title, and with the fact that they have to focus on these two huge personalities from their universe, who's the villain gonna be? Well, will there be a villain?
There's obviously some speculation.
I think so. Yeah, there's of course
Lex
speculation.
Luthor seems to be coming up a lot, right? Because they, you know, there were a few Easter eggs in Man of Steel for Lex Luthor.
Sure.
And he's into the real estate, and Superman destroyed a lot of it.
Yeah, and you can, exactly. And you can kind of tie that in with Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor maybe being some sort of competitors in terms of being, you know, these huge corporate giants. And I would predict Lex Luthor.
I would say Batman for the first half of the movie will be played off as the bad guy, because he's going to go to Metropolis like, who the hell is blowing up the city?
Right.
You know, so he's going to go there to stop Superman. Mm-hmm. And they'll get to some point where they have to take down a greater foe. Yeah.
Right. Which that's obviously just can't be Lex Luthor, right? He's going to have a huge robot or something.
Yeah. Well, that's another interesting thing is with the confirmed cast so far being people from the Man of Steel movie. You know, we've got Perry White and all that. Obviously, it's going to take place in Metropolis. So, will we see this new Gotham? Are we going to be left out in the cold?
And that's where my problem comes in at. Because if we have to shift over to Gotham City all of a sudden, to me, it becomes a different movie at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not, I want this film to be mostly about Superman. But at the same time, if you make it mostly about him and then you make Batman this supporting character, is it really doing Batman justice? because obviously this is going to be a new Batman. It's not going to be Christian Bale and that whole, they're going to pretend like that didn't exist and this is a completely new guy. So we have to kind of explore him, because while we do know Batman's origins, this is still going to be a different Batman. He has to be a different Batman to exist in the same world as Superman.
You know? Sure.
So I just don't know how they're going to pull it off. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, I don't either. And I'm sure the script isn't finished. They don't even have a title for the movie. They have like three confirmed actors for it. Nobody knows who Batman is. We're a long ways off to say that it's coming out. And what did they say? 2015?
Yeah. You know, that's right around the corner. You know, that's like not that far from now. And that's, we're also getting Avengers 2 and like the new Star Wars movie that same year. You know?
Yeah.
Now, I do have to say this. I much prefer this versus them rushing into Justice League.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I feel like Marvel did the right thing, obviously, slowly introducing its universe. You know, they gave the main players their own movies. Some of the smaller people, like Black Widow and, you know, Nick Fury, they kind of wedged into Iron Man 2, you know, just to get them out of the way. You kind of had a little bit of Hawkeye, right. A little bit of Hawkeye and Thor, but that was about it. But, you know, to get a whole Justice League team together, they have a lot. I mean, I don't know how many people are going to be on this team, but I'm guessing it's going to be more than just Batman and Superman. So they have a lot of people to introduce.
Right.
Who do you think deserves their own movie after this?
Assuming Batman won't get one. Well, I know it probably won't happen because it's a hard sell. Because for some reason, a woman can't star in an action movie. But Wonder Woman.
That's who I was going to say, actually. It was Wonder Woman. I think that'll sell.
It's the idea of that. They've been completely open to the idea of that for a while. I just think they've been looking for a good way and a good, you know, screenwriter and all that kind of stuff. But I definitely think Wonder Woman could make it now.
Sure.
I don't think it would be as difficult. I mean, I feel like if any of the other characters deserves their own film, it'd be her.
You know? Yeah.
Now, Aquaman is even seeming a little more interesting now, you know, because at one point in time, no one would have wanted to see that. But just kind of seeing what they did with Man of Steel, I could totally see this film taking place, you know, this epic film that takes place underwater, most of it. And like they could really do a lot of cool stuff with
like
that.
A reverse Little Mermaid where he wants to go under the sea.
So I could see the potential there. But who knows? I mean, at the very least, give us a Wonder Woman film and then just kind of, I don't know, maybe put Flash in it or something.
Well, yeah, because, you know, they have Flash. Nobody knows if Aquaman will be in the movie, Justice League. And, of course, there's Green Lantern, who kind of got screwed by Ryan Reynolds. So I feel like if they introduce Green Lantern, it won't be Hal Jordan.
Yeah, it'll be Jon Stewart or something.
And they should totally go that route. Totally.
And
just pretend like that Green Lantern, the Hal Jordan, Ryan Reynolds one didn't happen.
Oh, really? And just give stick us with them?
No. Just pretend like that didn't happen. Well, I mean, and just don't even go back that route with it.
Right.
Do Jon Stewart, you know, get
somebody there. And I especially think it'll be Jon Stewart because he'll be the only black person on the team. And if it's an all-white superhero team, people are going to be like, hey, there's no women. It's just white guys running around beating people up. White
guys. Yeah, I think that'll happen. I mean, I think we talked about that before, too.
The Aryan Justice League.
Yeah. I mean, they they need a minority. I mean, it's kind of weird to say that.
Right.
True. Maybe they'll give her Cyborg or something.
Maybe right.
Yeah, maybe.
Right before that meeting, they're like, "Okay, there's a problem here, guys. There's too many white people in this room. White men in this room."
But, you know, I think it'll be very interesting to see who they'll cast as the new Batman.
Yeah.
You guys have any picks? Anyone you'd like to see in that?
I don't know if it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well,
no, he
wouldn't. I wouldn't put it past him, but if they really didn't want to conflict with the other.
Sure.
With the Dark Knight Rises. No.
But, I mean, I think it's a clean slate.
It is. I mean,
he has his own backstory that people know,
mm-hmm.
but that'd be even less of a reason for them to have to feel like they have to explain something.
True. I mean, if they just kept John Blake and did that whole thing?
Yeah, this is their own universe. They could do whatever they want.
Yeah.
It's like reading a new comic book this Batman is somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but I don't think they'll do that just because.
You think it'll be Bruce Wayne?
Right. You know, if anybody's going to go toe to toe with Clark Kent, it's got to be Bruce Wayne.
It's going to be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I don't have like a pick for who's to play Batman, so I'm going to go the safe route and say an unknown.
Ah.
Yeah. And actually, there's a rumor going around, and this guy is relatively unknown. But if you watch Teen Wolf, which I think you do, right? The MTV series.
I've seen a couple episodes.
Yeah, the guy who plays Derek Hale, like the guy, you know, the wolf that, I don't want to spoil anything, but his name's Tyler Hoechlin or something like that. There's a rumor that they're looking at him for Bruce Wayne. Now, we're looking at this guy right now, and he's obviously a younger guy. Matter of fact, he's younger than me.
He looks more like Superman.
From that picture, he does look like Superman. But you know something? No, I don't think that that would be a coincidence, because I think they would want to make...
Okay, that picture looks like Batman.
Yeah. They're probably going to want a guy who is like... has all of the good looks and youth of Henry Cavill. You know?
Yeah.
So he can be around for a while, and they can have two pieces of eye candy in the movie. And so they'll probably go for somebody... younger and more,
especially when you look at you look at the superhero movies, trilogies are always a big thing. You've got these big team movies, and so you have actors that are going to be these characters for 10 or more years. So
exactly,
we don't need somebody all of a sudden becoming like an old looking, you know, Superman. Like, what happened, Superman? You're supposed to age slower than everybody.
Right. So I think for that reason, it's safe to assume they're going to cast someone who's in their early 20s or something like that, because who knows how far this thing can go, you know, because Marvel, you know, if they want to do anything like Marvel, Marvel is stretching out their, they're locking down their actors long term.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of these
things.
They are
signing some big contracts.
Yep.
Well, speaking of Marvel, how about we switch on over and talk about the big news that they brought to Comic-Con this year? There was a couple things, but the biggest has got to be they announced the title for Avengers 2, and it's going to be The Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to defer this over to Steven, because I know absolutely nothing about Ultron.
Allow me Bummer. Then, my friend, mon frère. Okay, so anyone familiar with the, especially in the past couple months, the Marvel Comics, Age of Ultron was actually a storyline that just wrapped up recently, in which, you know, Ultron comes back and he goes crazy and he starts, you know, wrecking shit up. But, you know, that's what always happens. Sure. Ultron, of course, being a robot originally designed for good by Dr. Hank Pym, who is Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Now... interestingly, and of course, you know, the crazy AI, he goes mad. Interestingly enough, Joss Whedon has also semi-confirmed Ant-Man won't be in this movie, which is strange for two reasons. First, we already know an Ant-Man movie is coming.
Right.
And two, then who made Ultron?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There is a theory. There is a theory, and I can't remember exactly where I got this from. This is not my theory. I will say that. But there is just a theory that Tony Stark will somehow be involved with this Ultron. Like, maybe somehow he makes a new suit, and maybe Jarvis operates it, and it somehow is corrupted and becomes Ultron.
I mean, you could easily look at that like, well, if Tony's semi-retired at the end of Part 3, spoilers, then, yeah, maybe he built a robot to patrol the city for him, and maybe it goes crazy.
And then if it goes crazy, that gives him a reason to suit up
to
again.
To put on the suit.
And,
yeah.
then that happens. So I think that's a pretty good theory. Because, like you said, they definitely have to change some things up, since they're not planning on introducing Ant-Man until after The Avengers 2.
Yeah.
In addition to that, this isn't brand new news, but we do know that it's confirmed that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are both going to be included in the Avengers 2.
That's right. But will they be mutants?
They will not be.
No, because...
Well, they can't refer to them as mutants
They
legally.
Can't refer to them as mutants because Fox owns the rights to that word somehow.
Correct.
So, so we have these two mutant characters that may or may not also be in the X-Men movie.
Quicksilver's been confirmed for Days of Future Past.
Yeah, so I don't know. Is it going to be the same actor? Will that confuse people? Are they not mutants?
Yeah, no.
What's going to happen?
There was some speculation at one point in time that, you know, when the news came out that Quicksilver was going to be in both the Avengers 2 and Days of Future Past, that Fox and Marvel somehow came together and made some kind of an agreement for some sort of a crossover.
Well, the problem is it would have to be Fox, Marvel, and Disney.
That is a problem, yes. Which we know Disney doesn't like to share.
No.
So they were, you know, there was a speculation about them casting the same actor, but all of that has been debunked. Okay, none of that is true. There's going to be two different actors. One of them being Aaron Johnson, who's going to play Quicksilver in the Avengers, who also plays Kick-Ass. And the other guy's name is Evan Peters, who's going to play Quicksilver in Days of Future Past, who comes from American Horror Story. He's an actor on there.
So, okay.
None of that shared universe shit going on between those two.
It's a shame, but it's how politics works.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's exciting. And like you said, I mean, they can't be mutants in the movie because that in terms of those characters is owned by Fox. So they can't be mutants. They're not going to be the son and daughter of Magneto. That's not going to happen. So they're just going to have to change their backstory around, but they'll still be Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
That is weird.
I think it's very interesting how they announced the whole Age of Ultron thing and these two versions of Quicksilver, because first it makes you wonder what kind of story they're going for. If Ant-Man isn't in the movie, even though he should have been the creator of Ultron, and then we've got two mutants who are in the movie. We don't really know why. Are they going to have, like, an appearance in another movie first? Like, why did Joss Whedon pick them? And then you have, if the main villain is Ultron, where does that leave Thanos?
Now, you know what about Thanos? Is that they're starting to kind of allude to the fact that Thanos is one of these villains that is just going to kind of be in the background for a few movies. And maybe, like, Avengers 3, he'll be the final threat.
I thought they announced something at the Guardians of the Galaxy thing.
They did. Well, I mean, there's in regard to Thanos.
Yeah.
I think they just kind of said that he's going to have a presence, but we don't know if we're going to see him in it or anything.
Well, if any movie would have Thanos have a presence, it would be that movie just because of where it would take place.
Right.
Which is in outer space.
Exactly. So let's talk about that a little bit. Talked about on previous episodes how unfamiliar most of us are with Guardians of the Galaxy. That hasn't really changed, but I do know that they've casted most of, if not all of, the Guardians themselves.
It's an interesting mix, but kind of impressive.
Right. I know we've got Batista, right? The wrestler as Drax.
Yes.
Drax the Destroyer, right?
Oh, boy.
Chris Pratt as Star-Lord. Zoe Saldana, we're all very familiar with her, as Gamora. Lee Pace, Ronan the Accuser. Benicio Del Toro is now a part of that as the Collector. Michael Rooker, Yondu. I don't know who any of these people are. But
you know Michael Rooker?
More importantly, well, the characters they're playing.
I know
Michael Rooker from The Walking Dead.
Sure.
But, you know, it's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, this will give us...
Didn't they also announce Glenn Close?
She is, yeah. She's
Nova Prime.
She's like
Nova
the
Prime.
Head of the Nova Corps. Nova
That's Prime. Funny. I'm familiar with all these because they had a Guardians of the Galaxy HeroClix set that came out when I first started playing, so I know all these characters.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really have much to say about this film. I mean, I'm going to go see it because it's a Marvel film and I'm sure it's going to tie in and set up some bigger things.
It might be their least popular one, though.
I think it will be. And it's definitely the riskiest one so far, because not many
definitely.
People are familiar with
But
them.
You know what? It's always that way with, you know, like a new IP, a new property, you've got a new franchise, and then one as strange as this one. It's probably, I don't know, I don't think it'll be your huge Iron Man hit, obviously.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, of course we don't know for sure, but just, this. I don't know, there's not really much... working for this film. I mean, there's not even really any big names in it. But in some ways, you would hope that that would be a good thing. Yeah. So I guess we'll see what happens with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Director, James Gunn.
The director is James Gunn.
Yes, of course.
Which, that's a risky choice, in my opinion.
For a director, yeah.
Scooby-Doo, Dawn of the Dead. These are movies that he directed, I'm guessing.
Yeah. He came from Troma. He was a Troma writer back in the day, which, you know, he created the movie Slither, which I heard was decent. It's just, you know, it's like a Peter Jackson story, sort of. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see. They showed some footage of it, I believe, at Comic-Con. I want to say they actually showed Rocket Raccoon doing some cool stuff. And, it's, you know, they say it looked pretty good. So it's still a little weird. You know, a talking tree or talking raccoon. I don't know. But it's going
It makes you wonder, like, maybe they don't need huge name actors if, like, over half of the cast is going to be CG anyway.
Right, and then someone like Chris Pratt, who's playing Star-Lord, is probably going to be wearing a mask for half of the movie. You know?
Yeah.
And Zoe Saldana's going to be all in paint and CGI'd up. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, we were talking a little bit ago about Days of Future Past, the new X-Men film that's coming out. I think the biggest thing that they had to talk about there was just cast. I mean, the entire cast came out, right?
The entire cast.
I think Hugh Jackman came out and talked about the Wolverine a little bit or something like that. Brought out Bryan Singer, who in turn brought out basically all of the main characters in X-Men Days of Future Past, which I can only imagine how cool that was with people that were there.
Oh, yeah.
To see Ian McKellen and James McAvoy and Patrick Stewart and Famke Janssen and, well, I don't know if Famke Janssen was there or not. But Ellen Page and, you know, all those people. Halle Berry.
They also unveiled sort of the Sentinels that are going to be in the movie.
That's right. We do have some photos out there of Sentinels in there. They're saying that that's not necessarily the final iteration of them, but, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of, viral marketing going on right now, including a Trask Industries website.
I think the Trask Industries website, it kind of gives a lot of interesting little tidbits that you probably wouldn't pick up otherwise. Obviously, the Sentinels are featured heavily on there, and they show that they are your, you know, large. They're not as big as they were in the cartoon. They're only like 18 feet tall. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're big Sentinels. They're not. It's not going to be them fighting little robot guys, which I'm excited about.
Yep.
But they also, hidden in the Trask website, is a timeline for the industry that goes up to 2020. So it kind of gives you an idea of how far Days of Future Past is obviously going to be after that. It's obviously going to be after 2020 in terms of their future time frame.
Right. Which I did see the site. We're looking at it now. I didn't get an in-depth look at it, but I didn't realize there was actual footage of Peter Dinklage in there as Bolivar Trask.
So that's cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm so excited about this film now. I mean, I was a little concerned. I'm still a little concerned because I still feel like, man, there's way too many characters in it, you know, but if they can tie it together, I mean, they have to. Fox, they have to make up for X-Men Origins Wolverine and X-Men 3. You know,
well, like, I feel
they can't afford to mess this up.
I feel that the Wolverine made up for the Origins movie.
Okay.
It was that.
Well, I haven't seen that yet. But.
Well, you need to because they do so much to make up for those two movies that you just mentioned.
I might just go see it tonight, just randomly.
Do it.
I probably should, or I don't know. For some reason, I'm not super excited about seeing that film, but. I don't know. It's weird. But I'm definitely still going to see it. We also got a couple photos. We got to see Bishop, finally. So Bishop is confirmed for Days of Future Past. I'm just going to say this right now. We are working on something that is going to be way better than this movie that takes place in the same universe. Don't quote me on that.
There you go.
But, yes, you know, it was speculated for a while that this guy, as soon as they cast this guy, Omar Sy or whatever, No disrespect, dude. Sorry. We knew that he was going to be cast as Bishop, and he's kind of weird looking. I don't know. I don't know if I like the outfit. I mean, we can't see much, and I guess that's his red bandana, but it looks more like a scarf. I don't know. I'm sure it'll look good in the movie. They did give him dreadlocks.
You have to look at the fact that they've changed the costumes of everyone in all of these movies so much.
They have.
That obviously Bishop, he might not even have a red scarf, you know, or bandana or anything.
Well,
like,
no,
it's in that
picture,
but...
Yeah.
You know, what if that might be like the top of a cape for all we know? I mean,
yeah,
or the cape.
I don't know how his costume is going to end up looking.
Yeah, it does kind of look like it can be more of a like he's part of the resistance, and they all wear. I mean, that's pretty much what I know in the comics. He was more so of a security force type of guy, but I think in the movie they'll switch that around. But you know, I'm excited about it. So we'll basically see what comes up next for that, right?
Yeah.
So in other news, I'm not particularly sure if there is anything new announced with Amazing Spider-Man 2. I think it was really just showing more images of Spider-Man, Jamie Foxx as Electro, etc. I don't think that's something that we addressed yet on the podcast. Everyone has seen the photos of Jamie Foxx as Electro, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
What do you think of it?
I like it.
Well, it's definitely an interesting look that they're going for. I mean, it's not your Electro wearing a green and yellow costume, and maybe that won't work on camera, but, I mean, it's just a guy with a glowing blue face. That's all I see so far. The CGI. It needs the special effects to know how it's going to end up.
Well, I mean, the official photos are with special effects where you can see the electricity in his veins and stuff like that. And I think that's cool. I mean, I can't believe there's still people who are actually complaining that he's not wearing the green and yellow. No one wants to see that shit, right? This is based on the ultimate Spider-Man version of Electro that looks a lot more cool, you know? And I think once we see him in action... And you actually see like these electrical currents flowing through his skin and stuff like that. That's going to look really awesome.
I think one interesting thing in the pictures from the movie so far is the fact that they've changed Spider-Man's costume back to the original.
They have. Yeah. And honestly, in terms of his eyes, this is the best Spider-Man's eyes I've ever looked. Like in all the movies that they've made, like they got his eyes like dead on. And Andrew Garfield's head shape is actually pretty good, too. I mean, he looks like Spider-Man.
We need someone with a different head shape for this movie.
you would think it wouldn't be that important, man, but it is. Spider-Man looks great. I think Electro, right, he looks good, but, you know, let's wait and see the full thing. You know, it's going to look awesome in the movie. They still haven't revealed what Rhino is going to look like, but from what we understand, it's going to be some type of a mechanized version, which to me makes a lot more sense than a guy running around dressed up as a Rhino, right?
Mm. Right.
As long as he hates Merlot.
and of course, you know, the speculation that they're building towards including the Sinister Six in one of these films. So this is why we're getting this.
Well, we've got... Electro, Rhino.
And that's it so far. But, you know, it'll be later on. So the next movie we'll get Doc Ock and you know, whoever else.
Sandman?
I'm trying to remember who's actually a part of that group. And I'm just...
Okay, wait. Rhino, Electro, Sandman, the Lizard, Doc Ock, and the Green Goblin?
I don't think Lizard was a part.
No?
He's definitely not going to be in the movies because he's dead.
Well, yeah.
Well, let's put dead in quotes, right? You could always bring him back.
Was the Lizard not in the Sinister Six?
I thought Lizard was a little too...
Oh, Hydro Man.
Unpredictable to be in.
I think Hydro Man organized was in there at one point.
Hydro Man?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with him. But I think they'll skip him. I don't know. But anyway, Amazing Spider-Man... Lots of new photos and everything. Check them out. Google them. Very easy to find all this stuff now. I'm looking at a bunch of set photos right now. Paul Giamatti on set as Rhino. I forget his real name.
I know it's weird. I mean, I guess he'll have to be mechanized, like you said, because it's a weird choice for somebody who's supposed to be this big built, you know, Rhino guy that they got Paul Giamatti to play him.
Right. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do because, you know, you can see some of the behind-the-scenes footage of him in some kind of a thing that you know is going to be replaced with CGI. So it's kind of hard to tell what's going on, but it just looks like it's going to be something that's really big and tall. So, you know, some kind of a big suit of some sort.
Yeah, but either way, ridiculous.
I'm up for it. All right, so let's shift on over.
Oh, was that Scorpion guy? What was his name? Was he in the Sinister Six?
No, Scorpion.
He wore like green clothes.
Scorpion was yellow, I thought.
No, it was green.
Oh no, you're right. You're right. I'm thinking of.
Oh, you're thinking of Shocker.
Shocker, right?
Yeah. I'm thinking of Shocker.
All right. Let's see. The original Sinister Six.
Well, I mean, they change so often.
Yeah.
There's currently only five people in the Sinister
Completely
Six.
Forgot about Vulture.
Vulture!
Electro,
oh, God.
Kraven, Mysterio, Sandman.
The original, yeah, right
Kraven,
here.
Mysterio. How did I not think of these people? Vulture, Kraven, Mysterio, Sandman, Doc Ock.
Green Electro. Goblin. Yeah. Lizard.
Goblin, Lizard, yeah. I think Venom was at one point.
At one point, yeah.
And yeah, then they're also, you know, in addition to Electro and Rhino being in this film, they're still going to be playing around with this whole idea of Norman Osborn becoming Green Goblin.
Yeah.
So
wait,
it's
did
weird.
Didn't they turn around and uncast Mary Jane, like she won't be in it?
Right. That did happen. The exact reasons, we don't know why, but they're saying that they felt that this movie was already a bit too cluttered, which I could kind of relate. And her part was going to be kind of small anyway. So now they're saying, let's just hold off to Amazing Spider-Man 3. And potential spoiler alert here, okay, for anyone who may not be familiar with the comics, it's obviously in the comic books, Gwen Stacy dies, okay?
By the hand of Green Goblin.
Yes. And
say it isn't true.
Right now we have very good reason to believe that that's going to happen in this film. Because
if they do bring the Goblin out.
Because Sony was foolish enough to let a set photo get out of Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy, like in the street, and Emma Stone is wearing the exact same outfit that Gwen Stacy was wearing in the comic when she died.
Oh, was it like a black dress and a trench coat?
I think it was actually like a yellow trench coat and like a purple dress or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So something like that.
Immediately the fans are like, oh, they're going to go this route and kill her in this film. So if that's true.
So much like speculation over the story and plot is by the, oh, look at the color of her dress in this picture.
Right, yeah, you're right.
It's probably photoshopped.
They can change that. She can wear that at any time.
Yeah.
Obviously, if she owned it when she died, it was part of her wardrobe.
But that, you know, if that does in fact happen in this film, they don't want to take away from Peter's grieving of Gwen Stacy by introducing Mary Jane. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, if he loses Gwen, he needs to grieve. He needs time to get over that. So why introduce a new potential love interest? You know? So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens with that. But it's all exciting news, right?
Hmm. Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the new Godzilla film had a presence at Comic-Con as well.
Hmm. All I've seen so far are posters. I know... at Comic-Con last year, it was also slightly had a presence, but nothing came out about it.
From what I understand, this time around, there was actually they kind of set up like a little area where you can see a bunch of Godzilla memorabilia, and they kind of made it look like it was downtown Tokyo.
Well, from the posters that they put out, it's definitely... looks like they're going for the original Godzilla design. You know, we're not going to get any of that Matthew Broderick stuff going on. Not that that movie was terrible, because I kind of enjoyed it, but, you know, it wasn't
you're one of the, few.
The traditional Godzilla.
You know, I heard that the director, Gareth Edwards, I think his name is, when asked about the look of Godzilla, which, of course, you know, obviously they haven't shown that yet, that he said that the best way to explain the approach they took when designing Godzilla was that if the old school Godzilla, the one that we're very familiar with, you know, the Japanese one, was a costume that someone made of a monster, what would that real monster look like? So they basically took that basic design but made it more realistic looking.
Sure.
So if someone saw this huge beast going through the city and then they made a costume of him, that is what the old Godzilla would look like. So that just shows you how similar of an approach they're trying to take in terms of having him look more so like the original version of Godzilla.
Yeah. And a lot of, from what I've been reading, it sounds like it's going to be more of a disaster movie than an action movie. You know, mm-hmm. Although I have heard that there are going to be more than just Godzilla in terms of giant monsters.
Right. And I believe that they actually did show some footage
that
consisted of, you know, you got to see some of the other monsters. You didn't really get to see Godzilla.
I'm very familiar with Godzilla monsters, but I haven't seen the footage, so I don't know which ones they showed.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I love Godzilla, by the way. Anybody listening in, I really, really like those old movies.
I gotta tell you, I love that, you know, in this one it seems like, you know, if they introduce other monsters, that means that Godzilla's in some form is going to be working, you know, to protect humans.
Yeah.
And I like that, instead of him being like the main threat, because we've already seen that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely feel like I don't want a movie where he's the only kaiju in it, because then it is just him destroying stuff.
Right. And then you just have to get the military or something, you know. And how many times have we seen that, right? So this is a much better approach. And speaking of kaiju, there, you know, we also, Pacific Rim came out recently, right?
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, what was the consensus of Pacific Rim?
I thought it was pretty good.
I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. Very fun.
Had a couple little weird story moments in there. Some stuff could have been fleshed out a little bit better. Mm. But, I mean, overall, I liked it. And this is actually being made... Godzilla's being made by the exact same company. So, Warner Brothers and Legendary. So, there's no competition or anything between these two.
There's no bad blood between them.
No, and they were even talking about... You know, Guillermo del Toro, the director of Pacific Rim, was talking about at some point he'd love to do like a crossover between Pacific Rim and Godzilla.
Well, that's interesting though, because you look at the Jaegers as they were in the kaiju and the size that they went, mm-hmm. and Godzilla traditionally is much, much larger.
Right.
You know, he steps on buildings.
Yeah, he's always been way too big in those.
He's always been really, really like a skyscraper would come up to like his knee. You
know,
like,
yeah, just like the old Zords on Power Rangers. It's just way too big. Way too big. I mean, hopefully they scale him down to where he's like the size of a skyscraper.
I don't know. I think they might go for a pretty big Godzilla. I kind of want them to, because it's kind of funny, you know?
But that's, come on now. If you can step on a building, that's huge.
That is the massive Godzilla that I've come to know and love.
Well, good point. Good point. I don't think that's a real photo, is it?
Nah, but I don't know. Who knows? Just trying to find something.
Lots of exciting things going on at Comic-Con. I'm sorry we don't know more. I mean, you know, of course there are a lot of other things that they announced, but we kind of just wanted to touch on some of the bigger aspects of it. Steven was supposed to go and get our in-depth coverage, but, you know, that didn't work out.
I got lost in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fair enough. You are forgiven. If you do not forgive Steven, send us an email at geeklydose@gmail.com.
Yep.
That's right.
Is there anything else we want to touch on Comic-Con that we may have not mentioned here? Nothing? No one has anything else to say about it?
No, not really.
Nah, it's so much to cover. We'll let it spill over to the next episode if we got something.
Yeah, yeah. This was really a huge recap, E3, Comic-Con.
Hitting the highlights.
In the highlights.
Highlight episode.
Just give you our opinions on that. once again, our recording schedule is a little, you know, it's not, it's a little hectic. If anyone new happened to come along in the meantime, Steven moved across the country. That kind of changed a lot of things. So we don't really have a set schedule for this podcast anymore. So we basically do it when we have a chance to. And, you know, we needed to do something. So we figured this would be the best stuff to address, talk about this Comic-Con news. So there's some changes. There were some recent changes with our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. The old address was facebook.com/awesomepodcastnetwork, but it is now
Awesome Pods.
Okay.
Everything's so Awesome Pods.
Awesome Pods. P-O-D-S.
Yep.
Okay, everything, so that spills over to Twitter.
Yep.
And et cetera. Okay.
Twitter's at Awesome Pods.
Okay. So, of course, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomepods. You can also follow us on Twitter at Awesome Pods. There's going to be a lot of big things coming up for APN soon. Of course, right now, still leading the pack, handling business, representing for all of us who haven't been around, 80s Revisited. Take a blast of the past with 80s Revisited. We talk about 80s movies and cinema and all the magic and a lot of facts and trivia and things that happened during that period of time.
Yep.
Hosted, of course, by Trey Harris and Daniel Santangelo. Those guys have been putting those episodes out pretty steadily and on time. So very much unlike us.
Close to on time.
They're the anti-us.
Yes. And also, the mighty Duo Attack has returned. You want to tell us a little bit about the return of Duo Attack,
Jesse? Yeah. The return happened because, I don't know, it's just been nagging at me to bring it back. And I asked Trey, you know, he plays HeroClix as well. I asked Trey, hey, you want to sit in for it? He said, sure. And just like that, a week later, we recorded it. And I told the old co-star, Justin Owens, about it. And he's like, I'll do it. So now there's three of us. So, yeah, because he said he never really didn't want to do it. It's just he had a weird schedule. But now, in case Justin doesn't want to do it, I have Trey. Or if Trey doesn't want to do it, I have Justin. You know, and I'll just be the constant there.
Right.
It keeps people coming. Because as soon as we did it, the support we got was pretty incredible. I was surprised that many people were still waiting for us to return.
Right.
So thanks to all those people. Because I know some cross over to here. But yeah, I'll give our thanks in the next episode, which will be, right now we're every 2 weeks. I'd like to bring it to every week again, but we'll just wait to see what happens. I'm just happy it's back on.
Awesome.
Yep.
Once again, Duo Attack is a HeroClix podcast.
Yep.
So if you're looking to get no HeroClix, learn powers and strategy and talk all of those magical things involving that game.
They have Pacific Rim HeroClix now.
And they have Pacific Rim HeroClix now.
It's pretty cool.
And I have completely forgotten how to play that game.
And the X-Men set comes out in 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay. So if you're a HeroClix fan, you're looking to get into it, playing everything, make sure you check out Duo Attack.
You like miniatures. Yeah.
Yeah. There's several episodes up already, and the new episodes have just resumed. So we've got those three, as well as more podcasts coming. Once again, check out facebook.com/awesomepods. Awesome Podcast Network on Facebook to look more into that. Now, this is kind of where we would normally go into the wrap-up. But once again, with the schedule we have, I don't think we know what we're going to talk about next time because we don't know when the next time we're going to record. Right, Steven?
I have no idea. And usually I'm the one that has everything planned out.
Yes. We're sorry about this. You know, it's kind of tough. But we get together when we can and we try to give you geek news and everything. What's the next biggest film? I need to see The Wolverine, obviously. Is there anything else that's coming up that's a little... What am I forgetting? I'm usually...
Thor in October, right?
Got Thor. Okay.
Yeah, Thor.
Other than that... Like, okay. As far as, like,
Elysium's
geek... right. You know, you got Riddick coming out.
Known properties.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Okay. Well, rest assured that, you know, all of these big
Ender's Game, that looks pretty neat.
Movies that are coming out, we're going to see. And if there's something that you would like us to talk about and review,
The Hobbit.
There you go.
Anchorman 2.
Send us an email at geeklydose@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, concerns you may have about anything, any requests, We'll gladly read them on air, address them, etc. So just basically let us know about that.
Smurfs too.
Once again, my name is Tim Bridgewater. You can find me on facebook.com/TimBridgewater1. You can also follow me on Twitter at TimBridgewater1. I have a documentary that I've been working on for a few months now that'll be released sometime in the near future called The Art of Three. So if you go to facebook.com/TheArtOfThree, you can see the trailer for that. And also just a lot of other big things in the works. We're just keeping busy, keeping things coming out. Steven, what's up?
Yes, of course, I'm Steven Nocentelli. You can follow me on Twitter at Steve Nocentelli. Is that what it is? Yeah, that's Steven. Yeah, that's my Twitter handle. So hit me up on there if you need me to do anything for you, because I'm probably bored.
Okay, well, I think that about does it for this episode of Geekly Dose. Once again, we want to thank everyone for tuning in. Please, if you know any other geeks, share the podcast. We're trying to get back into the swing of things, trying to get some new listeners. So if you can give us a hand with that, we greatly appreciate it. So until next time, for Geekly Dose, I'm Tim Bridgewater.
I'm Steven Nocentelli.
Jesse Sedgley.
Thank you, guys, and we'll see you next time for your next dose.
Find this show and more on facebook.com/awesomepods and follow us on Twitter @awesomepods.